jokes and jests in religious rituals, Christian and Jewish liturgies in the seasons of Purim and Carnival is the topic of a workshop that will take place this coming Tuesday at Hebrew Union College in Jerusalem. Reporter Nomi Segal heard more from Rabbi and Professor of Jewish Liturgy, Dalia Marks, who will moderate the comparative interfaith discussion.
We've been meeting kind of under the radar Jewish and Christian liturgists, scholars of liturgy, for many years already, more than decades. We meet every 2 years in Israel, and this is the third time that HUC is hosting the event. And every time we choose a topic and we sit in a small room, just, about 20 people discussing religious texts that have to do with worship and ritual and liturgy. And we always have also a public evening in which we invite the local community of Jerusalem, both Jewish and Christian, and we get really nice crowd, very, very mixed crowd of the local synagogues and churches, and, Jerusalemites, and it's wonderful. And this year, since it's Erev Rosh Chodesh, just before Rosh Chodesh, the beginning of the month of Adar Bet, where we celebrate Purim, and very close to the Christian Carnival, we thought, hey, why don't we talk about that? That's a great topic. The maybe not-so-funny aspect of laughter and, jokes. And
so did that connection immediately emerge in terms of the two religions and the traditions and where jokes or humor or festivals come into play?
I would say so. I would say that the connection is even broader. It's a human thing. But it's very deeply rooted in both traditions, both religions. So if you look at the Megillah, Megillat Esther, the beginning of chapter 9, we read this very surprising verse, "V'nafochu asher ishletu ha'yudim hema besoneihem," and the decree was overturned that the Jews shall be the ones who prevail over their enemies. So this is the idea that you really change, you change the normal current of events. And it seems that even the author of the Megillah, of the scroll, is being surprised. This is an irregular situation that the Jews, instead of being controlled, instead of being disempowered, now they're in control. Now they are very empowered. So this is, in a way, you challenge the social and the cultural structure. You re-examine the boundaries between people, between events, between things, and this is something that we see how it is manifested in Judaism in a very distinct way. Even the most important, I would say, Jewish activity, which is Torah learning, Talmud Torah, is becoming Purim Torah. Even that is becoming something that is funny or satirical, but it also has some subversive potential. And the same with the carnival, right? This is the same thing with the carnival. You alienate yourself from what you know in order to re-examine things. And the carnival is, of course, the great celebration before the Lent, the fast of the 40 days before Easter, as identifying with the suffering of Jesus. This is what the Catholic Christians celebrate on the carnival. This is the beginning of this era. And the Lent is a very rigid time in terms of religiosity, in terms of the hierarchy, in terms of the attention. And so the carnival serves, in a way, as a safety valve to social structures and construct. You allow yourself for one day to completely ignore all the rules, the hierarchy, the social boundaries, what is high becomes low, and what's low becomes high. You get a permission to be rowdy, to dismiss or disrespect the law and those who represent the law, to behave non-normative sexual way. And all of this, not in order to let this prevail, but in order to precisely enable maintaining the law and the order. In terms of the Christians, that's, of course, the Lent, which is a very severe and serious and somber time of the year. And in Jewish perspective, maybe Purim comes before Pesach, which is a very serious time of the year when we really, it's a reflective time. It's a time that we really invest ourselves in remembering our past and all that. So Purim, in a way, serves as a safety valve for us, just as the carnival serves for the Christians. And of course, the carnival also has a pre-Christian roots in the Dionysus celebrations, etc.
Now, you yourself have written a book about the Jewish-Israeli calendar, and Adar, the month when Purim is observed, is known as a month when joy is expressed. Can you tell us a little bit about how that evolves?
Right, so we read already in the classical rabbinic literature, "Mishenichnas Adar marbin besimcha." Since Adar enters, we increase joy, and it's very interesting what it means. It's not very clear what it means because the meaning of the word Adar, in and of itself, it's not very clear to us what is the origin of the word. But it came from the Babylonian language. It came with those who returned from Babylon to Zion. Adar may be referring to something completely different, something that is in the shadow, something that is a little bit lowly, something that's a little bit depressive. So in a way, maybe the tradition is telling us precisely in the months where it's not very natural to be happy, and I don't know why, you know, we don't really know why, this is when you need to be extremely happy. And of course, it raises an interesting question. How can you really ask someone to be happy? Can you order someone to be happy? Is it a mitzvah? Can you really make someone be happy if they don't feel the happiness from within? That's a very interesting question, I think. So in the book that you mentioned, Bazman, for every month I have a Shirat HaChodesh, a song of the month, or a poem of the month. And here I cited the Shir Sameach, a happy song, by Yaakov Orland. And the story of this song is very unique. It was composed in not a very happy moment. It was after one of the worst terrorist activities in 1954 in Maale Akrabim. I think that was the worst terrorist activity since 48, and 11 Israelis were murdered in this act, and it was a very, very harsh, very hard, very dark atmosphere, and it is told that Moshe Sharet was the second prime minister, who just began his just before that. He met Yaakov Orland, the poet, and the composer Mordechai Zeira in a Purim or whatever it was, and he locked them in the little kitchen in the club, and he told them that they cannot leave the room until they come up with a song that will encourage everybody. So they were not so sad about it because there was a lot of food in the kitchen and a lot of alcohol, and they sat there and they composed a song, which is Shir Sameach, and it begins exactly with this very low and very sad and very somber feeling, and it sort of calls you to rejoice from within, to find this happy moment from this very dark place within you, and to spark joy from it, which is a very common Hasidic idea, right? It begins with Gamim Roshenu Shach Ve'etzev Sovevanu Hava V'nitlakach Min HaSimcha Shebanu. Even if our head is bowed down and there's sadness all around us, please let us ignite ourselves from the joy that is within us. And it assumes that within us there is joy, even if you can't always see it.